Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton in New York City. And this show is going to be very, very different because we're recording this in advance, and there's a reason that we're doing that. I'm going to out you right now, okay? Happy birthday, David Paxton.
Yay! Happy birthday. I am 29 years old.
Yeah, okay. For about the third time there. Yeah, second time.
Yes, again. And then God is good.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I do another show called the Salt City Show. I do here local. Mm-hmm. And every day I end the show the same way, and that is, remember, God only gives us good days. It's up to us to keep it that way. Do your part. Mm. That's how I end it every day. And I believe that 100%.
Well, there's precedent for that too, but we forgot to pray.
Yes, we did.
So, Father, we thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise for all of our birthdays, and that we celebrate another year that we could do your will and purposes. And we thank you for this show. We can get your word out. We ask that it will go forth and not come back void. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And God makes it clear. The word of God does not come back void. So that's the reason that we give it. You know, we try our very best to let you guys know what God says, you know, by reading his word, and that's what we support. You know, so anyway, today's show is going to be a little bit different, but
what were we talking about?
I think good, because we're going to get into Israel. And David, you found a particular site. You know, I mean, we're members of the U.S. Press Association. I get information from every source you can imagine, but David came across a website that's kind of impressive with the information it has. And I don't know if we should mention name of it or not, but...
why not?
Go ahead, David. Tell us about it.
All right. So we're just fine. We're looking for cool stuff that's actually going to help us get the word out bigger, better, faster, because the time is short. And I just ran across Israel365news.com. They got a lot of good stuff on there. So we're going to talk about a couple of things that are on there today.
Yeah.
And it looks like, so far from what I see, it looks like Jewish news from Israel with a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, well, we're going to examine more of that today and see what's up with that. But we're always going to try and find new things for you guys.
Right.
You know, we could help do everything.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to lead you down some kind of path or something. You know, I mean, we look and make sure that this stuff is legit before we start talking about it. And
I would say we're Bereans. You know, he taught them, you know, Paul was teaching them, and it's like they went and looked it up. That's what we're doing too. So you can go look this stuff up with us.
Yeah, that's something I say that a lot. You know, if you don't believe me, look it up. That's really where we're coming from here, and the number one go-to reference is the Bible. And you know, if it's in the Bible, then we stand behind it 100%. Sometimes we talk about other books, the Jubilees. David, you've got a couple of others, I know. And we use those as deeper study, more information. And not as, you know, we're not saying it's gospel, but at the same time, you know, it gives good information, and as long as the information is good, then we got no reason not to bring it up. But we always make a point. We always make a point of saying this is not in the Bible. This isn't, you know, this is additional. It's additional research. So,
well, a couple of books, Ezra, and there's a book called Second Esdras, but it's spelled a little different. But he talks about that. He talks about there's a set of books that will be, this is the stuff you absolutely have to know.
Right.
And then there's an extra set of books for those who want to go into deeper study. And let's touch on that for a little bit, too.
Okay.
The Bible that we have in what we call the Western Church today was hashed out with the Nicene Council. And they went back and forth, and they wrestled with it. So you got some good stuff in there. They got rid of some Gnostic stuff. They got rid of a few different things that shouldn't be in there. But I believe they also went a little overboard and removed some things that they shouldn't have. And just as an example, a lot of them said they did not want to include the book of Revelation. Okay, so that was almost taken out of our book. So we'd be reading that today going, oh, this is crazy. No wonder it's not gospel. But then, but no, they voted back then, and they got one vote more, and they're like, oh, okay, it is gospel. It's not necessarily the case that, oh, this is the exact thing, because there was a split in the church, and the Eastern Church actually has the book of Enoch in it. And a couple of other books that are in there, and in some of the Apocrypha. So it was basically just an argument between the church people back then on which books they should include. So I would suggest you read them and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and insight.
Amen.
And if it is not to be in there, then take it out. Now, to be clear, there were other things, like there's something called Second Enoch and Third Enoch. Those are Gnostic, and they were just trying to basically hijack the name Enoch. They're no good. And at the end of the original, what we know as the Book of Enoch today, it's actually part of the Book of Noah. So it's not really the, you know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit jumbled. Yeah. But the point is, read it. And then ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, okay? But we definitely can be sure that the ones we have in what we call the Bible are the inspired ones and in there, because they really went through that a long time. I just think they took somebody the wrong ones out. But that's an opinion.
Well, and my suggestion here is read the Bible first and, get your base, get your base education first. And then you're going to want to know more. If you read the Bible every day, you're going to want to know more. And that's when you can go. And I would also highly suggest that you find someone, like I did with David, find somebody that knows the Bible more than you do. And just, don't be afraid to ask questions. It's okay. You're not expected to know everything right off the top, So find somebody that can sort of mentor you in your journey. Just make sure that they're based in the Bible, for real, not some kind of, you don't want to hook up with somebody like a Jones, in Jonestown or something like, you don't want to get hooked up with somebody like that, but, somebody that makes it really clear, God, Son, Holy Spirit.
Jesus is God.
Make sure that you're communicating with somebody that has the right beliefs. But then do your study. And the more you read, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more you want to read. It never stops. And, you hear me all the time saying, well, I never saw that in the Bible before. All the times I read it, never saw that. Where'd that come from?
There it is.
Yeah. So, it never stops. Your education with the Bible never, ever stops. David, I didn't play this one in the last show, and I meant to, because I know you got some more information on it, and that's the Pope. And, I really hate to say this, but if you're a Catholic, listen to the next little bit here. Let's listen to this one first.
Pope Francis is on his way back to the Vatican after wrapping up a 12-day international tour. The final stop was Singapore, where he celebrated Mass at the National Stadium with a crowd of 50,000 people. The tour also took in Indonesia, Timor-Leste, and Papua New Guinea. Charles Gibson reports from Rome.
This ambitious tour was always going to be challenging for an 87-year-old who's struggled with health and mobility issues over the last few years. But over the course of the 12 days, Francis took in four countries and oversaw events attended by hundreds of thousands of people. Catholics are the majority in only one of those countries, in Timor-Leste, so this trip highlighted the Pope's ongoing commitment to interfaith harmony. Francis now has a few weeks at home in the Vatican before another international trip to Belgium and Luxembourg at the end of this month. Giles Gibson, Rome.
Okay. I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but basically he's talking about interfaith relationships.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, kumbaya, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, I don't know if he puts any limitation on it. We all supposedly are praying to the same God, and God treats us all exactly the same. And that's the kind of statement where you need to pull your pants up as far as you can, because you're just wading through nothing but a bunch of BS. David, you want to kind of speak to this a little bit?
Yeah, well, let's start with this. If your religion needs a costume, it's a false religion.
Amen.
So, you know, with his fish hat and beanie and all that stuff, and you got to, like, wonder what's going on. And If you look at some of the pictures of when he was over, he kind of wrapped it up in Singapore, and they're all there, and they're all from the different religions, and they all get together, and they all got their costumes on, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like a big costume parade.
Right.
Okay, this and that. So he's there basically talking with them and say, oh, we have to, their theme was together in unity and hope, you know, and they're basically talking to all of them. So we use the term one world religion, didn't really use the term. That's just a catch-all for what they're actually doing.
Right.
Oh, that all these paths, you know, like the Oprah thing. Oh, all religions lead to God. Mm. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Okay. That's the big lie, and that's what he's pushing here. And if we can see his actions and everything that's going on, he really is putting forth the character attributes of the false prophet. Now, the Antichrist is different. So just like there, we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Satan tries to fake that. So you got the serpent, then you got the Antichrist, which is a fake Christ. So the serpent is like the fake Father God. The Antichrist is the fake Jesus. And then you got the false prophet, which is like a fake Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to, I believe he'll then, and he's going to tell everybody, oh, yeah, you got to worship this Mr. Antichrist here. I'm not going to call him that, but mm-hmm. yeah, he's the one that's going to lead all of us together and coming together in unity. So mm-hmm. that they're not going to use things like, hey, we're going to try and take over the world, so just everybody come together under us. They're going to make it sound nice. They're going to sugarcoat it. We're together in unity. This way we won't fight each other. There'll be no wars. We can work together, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They're going to make it sound nice, but the bottom line is they're all in unity under Satan, not Jesus, the creator of the universe. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? That goes right back to the original lie. And that is, I think I know better, and God just doesn't want to tell me good and evil, so I'm just going to do it on my own. Yeah. Well, okay, then you go create your own universe. In the meantime, here's a big lake. It's full of fire. You can hang out there until you do.
Yeah, forever.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So here's the poop doing all that.
Well, another thing that he did, David, again, I meant to bring this up in the last show and didn't. But he was speaking to the American election. And
no, I didn't hear that part.
He does not, he doesn't like either candidate, Trump or Harris. He doesn't like either one of them.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, he made it clear that both of them support abortion. That was what prompted all this, was that they both supposedly believe in abortion. And in fairness, now Trump has changed his stance on that quite a bit for this particular election. and trying to put dates on how long you can go before you have one or whatever, or till you can't or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But whereas Harris wouldn't comment. She just avoided the question altogether. She wouldn't comment on it. And the deal is that he said that people should vote for the lesser evil. That's what he said. But he didn't say which one that was. So, in other words, he did a lot of talking, but he didn't say anything.
Because he knew it would cause derision. Because if he went with camel toe, then all the Trump supporters in the Catholic Church, which is millions of them, would just disown him immediately.
Right.
And, you know, if he went with Trump, then all the libtards would start burning the churches down.
Yeah, which they are already, by the way. You know, yeah, that's already happening.
They're going to do that anyway, so you might as well just lean on the truth side.
Right.
But he's a clown, and he's not doing anything for truth purposes. No. He's doing it for how he looks and to try and not stir up trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the way I look at things right now, David, is that, you know, the whole world is going down the same path. Everybody's having the same problems. They're having election problems. They're having, as far, you know, like election interference and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're having censorship issues. They're having terrorist attacks. Immigration, of course, is huge issue. And then you got all the wars, you know, the Russian war in the Ukraine. There was one. Well, I'm going to play this one. I should have played it for the weekend wrap, but I'm going to play this one now just to make a point.
More than 16 months of conflict in Sudan have claimed over 20,000 lives, a senior United Nations official reported, underscoring the severe toll of a war that has ravaged the northeastern African nation.
Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, Director General of the World Health Organization, shared the figure during a press briefing in Port Sudan, a coastal city that hosts Sudan's internationally recognized military-supported government. He warned the death toll could be even higher. Joseph Eckerson reporting.
Okay, how many times have you heard this report in the mainstream media?
I haven't.
Okay, I haven't either. But because they didn't want to report any Israeli news, they threw this one in. But the thing is that you got 16 months of this war going on and nobody's ever heard of it before. There's not an outcry all over the world. There's not major protests on college campuses. There's no destruction going on. There's no from the river to the sea going on. There's none of that crap. Nobody cares because it's the Sudan. Nobody cares. Right. Okay?
Exactly. But, so how many people died so far?
I think it said something like 24,000. I might have misheard that. But there's a bunch. You know, a lot of people. And there's no end to this, and it's going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little over 3,000 here in the city, and a few everywhere else with 9/11, and we just and here we are, 23 years later, still celebrating it and remembering it.
Yeah.
But there's 24,000 people, and they don't even talk about it.
Right, at all. You know, because, again, nobody cares about the Sudan. And another thing about the Sudan is that they're under massive famine. Okay, well, that's another Matthew 24 warning, right? Is the is the famine, the war, some rumors of war. Then you get into like migration issues. Listen to this.
Nigerian authorities say nearly 2,500 Nigerians have been evacuated from Libya this year. That is part of the government's efforts to return dozens of Nigerians who are stranded in the country. Correspondent Anjek Mangud explains.
The Nigerians in Diaspora Commission, or NIDCOM, says the evacuation was carried out via 15 flights between January and September. The commission says this was done in collaboration with various government agencies and the International Organization for Migration. This is not the first time the agency has evacuated Nigerians stranded in Libya and other countries. NIDCOM says over 10,000 Nigerians have been evacuated from Libya in the last few years. Nigeria's government has repeatedly warned citizens to avoid illegal migration through Libya. But each year, dozens make the dangerous journey to Europe in search of better fortunes. However, many of them end up getting stranded or being forced into labor or prostitution. Ajek Mangut, Abuja.
Okay, so what you see there is a mirror image of what you see here in the United States with the border problems that we've got down on the southern border, where people are coming over and kids and women, for instance, are being taken prisoner basically right away and put into, you know, situations that, that nobody wants to be in at all. You know, human trafficking. And this is happening there in Kenya because Kenya is such a poor country that they're trying to escape. And I'm curious whether or not they got coyotes there. You know, and I don't know if how many people are familiar with the terminology of coyote, but what these are as far as in the United States is that the Mexican cartels, drug cartels over there, they're called coyotes, and what they do is they get these people and they have them pay huge sums of money in their terms. It would be nothing for us, but for them it's a lot of money to be marched through the desert, starved half to death, told exactly what to do and when to do it, and brought to the United States. They got to pay for that and then be pushed across the border, and then they go back and get them another load, you know. I don't know if they got the same situation there in Kenya with Libya or not, but it sounds very similar to me. What do you think, David?
Yeah, it's the whole world. And, you know, it has been going on, you know, for all of history. People are taken away. When you get into a war and you capture the opposing side, if you win, then you make them slaves. That's right. What you do. It's just that the population is exponentially growing, so it's a bigger problem than ever before.
Right.
Combine that with the end of the age and what they're doing to everybody, to removing all their moral consciousness, and the fact that the devil's stepping things up because he knows, yeah, he's got a couple minutes left to do what he has to do, and here we are, the worst time in history, and that's exactly what the Bible says. It's not just the mountains melting. It's not just the world flipping over on its side. It includes all of the pestilence and everything, but it includes all of this human tragedy as well.
Well, one thing that just occurred over the weekend was that Iran has launched a satellite, and it is a spy satellite.
How fun.
Yeah. They just did that. That's new. So I don't know. Iran is at the key of all this stuff. I mean, you know, they're the head of the spear as far as marching towards Gog and Magog. I mean, Russia, of course, is the big one with their military might. But I don't think that they're the driving force. Maybe I'm wrong. Is it possible Gog comes from Iran, David, or does Gog have to physically come from Russia?
Well, it says the north, the far north. So, yeah, it's that's where he's at, and that's a spirit of Gog. But it all just the narrative just all fits. That's why everyone, you know, believes it's Russia. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be a surprise if it wasn't?
Yeah, it would be a shock. Yeah, especially because it's named Rush. You know, I mean, maybe I'm reading too much into that, you know, but I firmly believe that Russia's and the reason I think that Russia is the spearhead to this is because all these other little countries have tried this before with Israel several times. And I mean, this dates back all the way to the day they were created, the very day that Israel became a country. I mean, the day they became a country, they got attacked.
Yeah, they geared up. It says if you make them a country, we're going to attack them, and they were ready.
And if you guys will go and look it up, go on X or Truth, one of the social media platforms that doesn't censor stuff, and look at the number of times that sirens are going off in Israel. I mean, it's like every 2 to 5 minutes, and every time that a siren goes off in your area, not over the whole country, but if a siren goes off in your area, you've got 90 seconds to make it to a bomb shelter. 90 seconds. That's a minute and a half. Now imagine yourself driving down the road. You're going to Walmart, and all of a sudden a siren goes off, and you got 90 seconds to find shelter for you and your family. Imagine that. And that, this is not just today. It's every day, 365 mm-hmm. days a year with no break. Imagine that. Could you live that way? I couldn't, personally. I don't know.
It's perpetual.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. Do you, David? I mean, it's crazy.
I don't. I do have. I am taking some courses that are based in Israel. Israeli okay. Biblical Institute, mm-hmm. and the professor over there regularly talks about. You know, they see these sirens going off, and he lives in that area, and he's very grateful for the United States parking giant ships out there because he feels that, as does everyone around. That's a thing that's kind of protecting them right now.
Right.
So despite all our problems, he says, well, we're just happy you guys have your military over here right now.
It's something like one-third of the fleet, right? One-third of the American fleet is sitting over in the Middle East right now?
I'm not sure, but that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. I saw a map somewhere, and I keep forgetting to look this up and get a picture of it, but I know I have seen somewhere where it gave a number that was just like that. It was like one-third of the American fleet. And some of the ships, one of the carrier groups anyway, was actually mm-hmm. stationed in the Pacific Ocean and had to go all the way over. And now they're they're in the Mediterranean. It was either the Lincoln or the other one. I can't remember what the other one's name is. But one of the carrier groups was taken from over there. We've actually pulled back all of our most of our assets away from the Chinese area and put them all over in the Mediterranean because that's yeah. where the hot war is going on right now. I had a somebody told me years and years and years ago, you can always figure out where the United States is going to be working or going to where the possible war is by what color they paint the helicopters. If it's like green and black and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be somewhere that's tropical like Vietnam was, something like mm-hmm. that. But if it's Iran or something like that, then they paint them brown,
Right, like a tan.
Yeah.
Like sand color.
Sand color, right. And that's where we're at right now. That's what's going on right now. Okay, we didn't get to a whole lot in this first half, but I promise you we're going to get to a lot more Israeli-type stuff in the second because David's got a great site, and I want to get into that as well because what's going on in Israel right now, that's what is important. That's the reason he's got that map back there. We'll be back right after a short break.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Simon Gaitan. Parts of Central Europe are bracing for more flooding after intense rain from Storm Boris inundated the region. At least 16 deaths have been reported in Poland, the Czech Republic, and several other countries so far. Our Europe correspondent Giles Gibson has more.
The Hungarian government has deployed troops to reinforce flood barriers along the River Danube, which has been rising about 1 meter every 24 hours, threatening the capital, Budapest. In the south of Poland, a city of 44,000 people has been evacuated after a river burst its banks. The heavy rains that have swept across the region are now forecast to ease off, but rivers are expected to keep rising until the end of the week. Giles Gibson, Rome.
Donald Trump has described the moment he was grabbed by Secret Service agents when a gunman was spotted at his golf course.
All of a sudden, we heard shots being fired in the air. It worked out well, and Secret Service did an excellent job. And they have the man behind bars, and hopefully he's going to be there for a long time. Dangerous person, very, very dangerous person.
The suspect is thought to have camped out with a rifle for 12 hours on Sunday in Florida before agents saw him and opened fire. 58-year-old Ryan Roof has been charged with two gun-related crimes. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says he's spoken to President Biden about having more personnel in his security detail. Russia says it's retaken control of two villages in its western Kursk region as it continues its counter-offensive operations. Russian forces have been fighting to regain control of territory captured by Ukrainian forces after they launched a surprise incursion on August 6th. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Russia's defense ministry said its troops had retaken control of the settlements of Uspenovka and Borki, which lie about 20 kilometers apart on the border with Ukraine's Sumy region, in what Moscow called a significant counteroffensive operation against Ukrainian forces. Ukrainian forces launched the first foreign attack on Russian soil since World War II when they smashed through their international border into Russia's Kursk region on August 6. Kyiv says it currently controls about 100 villages and an area of more than 1,300 square kilometers. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
At least four people have died and 40 others are reported missing after a boat they were traveling in hit a bridge and capsized on the Kwango River in the southwest of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Local authorities say the boat had 150 passengers on board when it sank. Chris Ochamringa has more from Kinshasa.
Congolese authorities say they have retrieved four bodies from the shipwreck in the Kwango River. 79 people are reported to have survived, but 40 others are missing. A search and rescue operation has been launched to find them. Chris Ochamringa, Kinshasa.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and that is Mr. David Paxton. And, David, in this half of the show, I do want to really focus on Israel, because that's where everything's going to take place. That's the key to everything. And it's amazing because of the fact how small Israel is. Why does the world care?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Why does the world care? It sort of is, but you know, I mean, I'm sure people wonder, you know, what is so important about little Israel that's the size of New Jersey? Why does the whole world care about them at all?
Well, here's the deal. That's where God said, Jerusalem is mine, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it's not really about... the Jews per se. It's not really about Christians per se. It's about Satan wants to try and take over all of creation, and all of creation is centered on the earth, and all of the earth is centered on Jerusalem. That's where this seat will be. He will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. So everything is coming to try and destroy in one way or another. And when he comes down, he'll set his feet on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion will split in half.
Right.
So, yeah, because he's big, and when he stands on the mountain, it's going to split the mountain. That's going to be cool.
Yes, it is.
So, here they are. They want to destroy Israel, and it really has nothing to do with the people, because technically they're brothers. Yeah. You know, when you look at Ishmael and Yitzhak, mm-hmm. and then you look at Esau and Jacob, they're all brothers over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you have all the evil people from the rest of the world that Satan is just influencing to, like, come on the side of the bad brother. Now, Esau was condemned because he hated his inheritance. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back to the contract. He despised the contract that he had as the firstborn son. Mm-hmm. And God's like, I made this contract. And now you're despising it. You sold it for some bean soup.
Yeah. And yeah.
So yeah. It all fits back together in that. So they're like, oh, that belongs to me. I'm the older brother. Same thing with Ishmael. Oh, I'm the older brother. That belongs to me. So you got this same mentality. That belongs to me. And it's the same mentality that Satan has, because he thinks, oh, I was made before this guy, Adam. Mm-hmm. I should have that inheritance of the universe and the earth. And I should have been given all that. It's all the same story. The first one didn't get it. The second one does. It's mm-hmm. even with Adam and Jesus. There's the first Adam and the last Adam.
Right.
And
right.
Jesus is the one who inherits it. So he's trying to steal it back. And then he's trying to talk Adam into stealing it back. Mm-hmm. Says, oh, you know, you lost your inheritance. So let's go take it back from God. And I'll show. And then like we talked about on the last show. He tells them how wonderful it's going to be if they come with him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's why, because it's the seat of rulership, the seat of all power, is going to be there. And then there's going to be the new Jerusalem, mm-hmm. which comes down out of heaven.
Right.
Which, yeah, and it's Yerushalayim, and it literally means to rain down peace. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, Yerushalom, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all been about peace. Peace. Yeah. And there is no peace. And
right. Until Jesus comes.
Yeah, what the people don't understand, I mean, people are always saying, well, there's no God and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, the anti-Christian perspective.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, you'll find out.
If that's the case, then what's the problem with Israel then? You know, if God doesn't matter at all, if he's got no impact, then what's the argument about?
That's the biggest question. Yeah. What? You know, if, well, let's finish up on the last one. Jerusalem is also a plural word. Yerushalayim is, it's I-im at the end, and it's a dual plural. So that's why we have the new one coming.
Okay.
Because there's two. But why do people care? I often ask that question. Because you go into like a creation group or something, and like on Telegram or Facebook or whatever.
Right.
And there's atheists in there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why are you even here?
Well, they're there because they believe. Yeah. They really believe. Yeah. It's just that, you know, they've taken a position, and they're there to try and I had a family member say this. If you're going to send me stuff about God, you know, I've got the right to argue with it or whatever. I can't remember the word he used. You know, it's just like, why would you? I mean, if it doesn't matter, then why bother commenting?
Here's the deal. If you are the result of random chance, and so that means your brain was just put together randomly, the random molecules, then you can't trust your brain because it's just a random collection of molecules. So you can't even trust it to think, to know whether there's a God or not. So let's start with that.
Yeah.
But then if you really do believe that there is no God, why do you spend your life fighting him?
Right.
Aren't you wasting time?
Yeah. Well, you know, bottom line, everybody knows there's a God inside them, you know, and you guys, I know there's going to be some idiot out there that's going to send me something. No, I don't. Well, yeah, you do. You just don't want to admit it.
You won't admit it, or else you wouldn't be watching the show.
Exactly.
Because if you truly, truly believed there was no God, and you're just here randomly, and then everybody dies, and that's it, they're gone, why wouldn't you just go out and do all sorts of crazy stuff?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? Let me go and, you know, and steal all his money and go live on a yacht somewhere and do whatever I want with people and just and be the big mean guy, you know, or... You know, maybe I'm nice. Well, I'll just go do some other things. Why are you working your whole life, wasting it away, and then spending all this time arguing with the creator who you don't believe really exists?
Yeah.
And then it's because it's for the good of humanity. It doesn't matter. They're all going to die.
Yeah.
And they're going to be forgotten forever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's just, you're not making any sense. If you truly believe there's no God, stop wasting your time and just go live it up.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this, that the people that don't believe and all that, you know, what kind of persecution are they under? What kind of censorship are they under? You know, what kind of thumb are they under? None. But, you know, if you get to speaking about Jesus Christ, if you put a show out there like what we do, then every little word, you got to watch out for every little word you say, because they're looking for any kind of excuse they can to deprive everybody else of hearing the true meaning of God. But look at this. Every time in history, David, every time in history that people have tried to outlaw God or push God out of a country or whatever, what happens every time?
Every time the Christian population increases.
Every time, without exception, throughout thousands of years. So,
because it just makes sense. So people are like, hey, why are they trying to push this guy out? Let me find out what he's all about. And then they find out what he's all about.
Yeah, and then they come to Christ. And in, you know, there's a lot of countries, and I'm going to list a couple here. Iran, Iraq, North Korea, China have some of the largest, fastest growing Christian churches, and not one of them supports the Christian religion or, you know, belief in Christ. Mm-hmm. Not one of them. And in some cases, you can be killed for just saying, I believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they so who's taking the risk, the Christians or everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because they're willing to do what they got to do for what they truly believe, as opposed to atheists. Okay. What if someone said, "Hey, I'll kill you if you say you're an atheist"? Yeah. I guarantee it. They'd change their words.
Whether
they change their mind or not, it's different. But they would change their words. Oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah.
Look, there is no way that I'm gonna deny Jesus Christ. That's not going to happen. You know, if the people they can kill me. They can kill my physical body, but they can't kill me.
It's actually kind of a blessing, because that'll just rush the new one.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, good. I got to order the new one now.
So, you know, we're not afraid. The only thing that we're trying to do is get the message out there before they start shutting all of us down. And the day is coming, people. The day is coming to where you're going to get on YouTube or Rumble or Spotify or any place else, and you're not going to find a drop of Christian content. It's all been deleted. It's all been taken down because the Christians are gone, and they're not going to want you to read it. So I'm hoping that you guys are downloading this stuff and saving it. You know, as a matter of fact, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ right now, if you don't believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, please download this show right now. Download it and keep it, because the day is coming when we'll all be gone, and you're going to want to hear this, that if you will simply let the Lord know, Lord, I'm sorry, I missed it. I'm, you know, this is on me. I know now that Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me. I want to be a part of it. Please forgive me of my sins, you know, and I'll do everything that I can in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. Now, you still have to go through the tribulation. You're still going to be, and you're probably going to be subject to a horrible death that you won't feel. And then you're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. But you can avoid all that by simply doing it before the rapture of the church. That's what we're after, is that we want to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. Mm-hmm. David, you can expand on that a little bit, because you say it a lot better than I do.
Jesus is coming. You don't want to miss the bus.
Right. Because
just like here, if I'm waiting for the subway downstairs and I hear the doors close and it's pulling away, you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not going to turn around and come back,
right?
And come and get you. So, and that period is coming quite quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to give a couple. In Revelation, it says in 6:9, it says when he opened the fifth seal. So that's as he's opening the seals, different things happen. Mm-hmm. This one in the fifth seal says, "I saw under the altar the souls of men that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's possible that you may be killed for believing in the Christ, but they didn't care. They cried with a loud voice, "Hey, long how, Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood and them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. Mm-hmm. And you know what that means? A white robe symbolizes, hey, your clothes have been made clean. Now you are made pure because Jesus washed you clean. So they were beheaded, but they're still talking. So apparently they got their head back.
Right.
And because it's the DNA. Mm-hmm. And the DNA is your blueprint. So, well, let's get into that. Remind me about DNA, okay? But white robes were given to them, and they should rest for just a little season. So there's Revelation. The tribulation saints are in a similar boat. But then you get to 12:11, and it says, this is interesting. "Now has come salvation," in verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God." So here's the kingdom, mm-hmm. and we're getting the culmination of the kingdom is taking over on the earth, right? Mm-hmm. "And the power of his Christ, his Messiah, because the accuser of the brethren is cast down." Okay? Mm-hmm. So there we go. We're at the end of this. Satan rears his ugly head. He's cast down, and he's the accuser of the brethren. So if you're getting accused for whatever, for being a Christian, good. Mm-hmm. That's the devil doing it. You know you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But the kingdom has come. Right. Now you're enacting, invoking this contract like to the full culmination at this point. And then it says, and they overcame him. How did they overcome him? So here's the devil accusing you day and night all this time. And here at the end, it says, oh, they overcame him, and here's how they did it. Mm-hmm. By the word of their testimony. So you got to speak the word. By the blood of the Lamb. So there's your contract. You got mm-hmm. a contract that you're speaking the word of their testimony, because that's a legal term. When you testify in court, it's a testimony. Okay? So the blood contract, the testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death.
Yeah.
Are you willing to die for this contract and your testimony that you just said? Do you swear by your life? Is what it's saying. So that's where we are. Yeah. Like, you know what? Bring it on. I'm ready to swear by my life. Why? Bring because it. I get a white robe.
Yeah.
And I get to rule with him.
Talk about that a little bit. The symbolism there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people read this, and when you really look at it from the contract legalese point of view, it says now has come salvation. So he basically redeemed the earth, and mm-hmm. strength. Now the real power has come. Satan's trying to, you know, ooh, I'm big and strong. Yay. Mm-hmm. He's not, because the real strength and the kingdom.
Yeah.
So this is the political system, is a kingdom. You know, we're not familiar with that in America, but many countries have kings.
Right.
All right? And the king makes the rules, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Oh, the king said this. Okay, well, that's the rules then.
Yeah.
And it's the kingdom of who? Our God. And the power of his Messiah. That's Jesus. Okay? And it's that word, their power, is not the dunamos, but exousia, which is privilege, force, capacity. So now it's the capacity, privilege, force of the Messiah or Jesus, because the accuser has been cast down, because we brought him to court. We brought the testimony. Your word, Father, says he's a liar. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he has to be cast out of court. All his testimony is gone. It's inadmissible in the court. So you have no sin because you have the blood contract of Christ. You're testifying, yes, this is my new blood contract. I agree to this. There's my signature right on the bottom. Look, mm-hmm. Okay, this is a contract. Boom. Are you willing to put your life on the line and swear to this contract? Yes, I am, Your Honor. Great. Here's your white robe, which means I'm made pure. I'm made whole. My clothes are not filthy anymore. They don't stink.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not full of all my things. And that's the same when we go back to our Bible studies on Genesis. They wanted to clothe themselves again.
Right.
And they mm-hmm. tried it with the fig leaves, sewing mm-hmm. them together. And it's like, that's plants, dude.
Yeah.
And he said, you need to shed blood. So then the blood had to be shed, and he put skins on them for clothes. But now we're getting the righteous white linen robes that were made white by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So Jesus, in shedding his blood, paid off our debt. Now our linen clothes are made white, pure, holy, and Colossians says we are above reproach. Mm-hmm. It is holy and righteous and above reproach, and there is no sin in us anymore. Blessed and highly favored. It's a Amen. Beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, Amen. You know, you were saying earlier that we weren't under a king. That there are people out there that are, and there are for sure. But mm-hmm. here's the thing, and I've tried to do this for several shows now to show people that everything that's happening in America is a mirror image of what's going on in Asia, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on everywhere. All countries, all governments are experiencing the same problems and mm-hmm. spewing the same propaganda. Every single one of them. It's identical all over the world, whether it's elections that are fraudulent or whatever, and I'm not commenting on on past elections in the United States. I have an opinion on that, and everybody that knows me and that's on Facebook, they know exactly where I stand on it. But anyway, I'm not saying anything about that. But what I am saying is that censorship is being seen all over the world, in classrooms across the world. Children are subject to nothing but propaganda. And they're taking more and more and more away from parents. Parents don't even, they don't count anymore. If you look at schools here in the United States, if you go against what the school is preaching to these kids, and I use that word intentionally, then the parent's in trouble, not the school district, okay?
Yeah, and they bring the parents in. It's like, that's not your kid.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But, you know, that's what's going on right now, is that the whole world is being subjected to, this is what you have to believe. We tell you so. And in every government in the history of the world, if you really want to take a country over, you got to start young. You got to start in kindergarten, and you got to start hammering the position into them. Where do you think the Hitler Youth came from? They didn't just pop up one day. Okay, they were, you know, this stuff was preached to them from kindergarten on up. Look at the look in Arabia right now. Look over in Palestine. What are the Palestinians teaching their kids? Kill, kill, kill. There's videos that show little girls with knives. What do you do with an Israeli? Kill, kill, kill.
Yeah, you know, that's what they're teaching them.
Yeah, it's indoctrination, and that's happening right now all over the world, including the United States of America. David, you want to comment?
Yeah, and you know, just try not sending your kid to school and see how angry they get.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, how come all of a sudden in the, you know, last 100 years or so, you're required to send your kid to school? Mm-hmm. You know, the kids before that, they worked on the farm, they taught them in the house, and, you know, you lived your family life. Mm-hmm. It's like for thousands of years, and then all of a sudden they got it. And it was, you know, local schools initially, but they did that on purpose to build a school system and then come up with the National Education Society and sold it as, oh, it's for the greater good. We've heard that before.
Yeah, have you looked at some of these people that run that crap? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. They put, I think it was Rockefeller. The lady that was put in charge was actually a black teacher, and she was very good, very Christian. And she was put in charge of, like, hey, we're going to have this lady because everybody loved her. And then, like, a couple months later, say, oh, she's fired, and we're putting Rockefeller in there. Okay? And then he took over from there. That was all a ruse to just take over the educational system specifically for that purpose, for indoctrination.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people are going to hate to hear this, but the Pledge of Allegiance is actually a Mason thing. And it's originally it had the Heil Hitler thing going on.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that. You know, I've been hesitant to bring it up, but it's very, very true. If you just, you know, for those of you that don't believe me, look it up.
Yeah, look it up. The origin of the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. And you know, we're very you know, we love the country.
Yes.
But we have to look at some of the nefarious things that have been done and for what purpose.
Yeah. We can love the United States and still not like some of the things that are going on. And right now, there's a lot that's going on in the United States I don't like. imagine for a second pledging allegiance to God, you know, and how that would go over. But then again, you look toward the Middle East and see what they do, because they do pledge allegiance to Allah. Yeah.
I think they're going to rewrite it. I pledge allegiance to my God. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, but, you know, that would be something to be taken down in a nuclear heartbeat. You can believe that.
Yeah, so we'll put it up again all over the place.
But, you know, anyway, everything that's going on in Israel right now points to the fact that we are very, very close to the rapture. I mean, I'm not going to say very close. I continue to say it's imminent, you know. And the word imminent doesn't mean it's going to happen in the next breath. But it does mean that it can happen any time. And I do mean any time.
It could happen in the next breath.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to be ready. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us to watch for this. This isn't something that we're just making up. Mm-hmm. The Bible is clear about looking for it. Right, David?
Yeah. Hey, he says, hey, yeah, when you see all this, hey, you know the end's near. It's mm-hmm. going to be fun.
Yeah.
Here's one of them. Back to Israel365news.com.
Okay.
Up today, they have Liberation Theology, a new form of Christianity redefining Jesus as a Palestinian social justice warrior. And it just speaks to what he said. Many will come in my name saying, I am Christ. Look, mm-hmm. he's over here. He's over there.
Yeah.
And that just that doesn't mean like he's like physically over there. Well, it does. But in addition to that, it means, hey, he's got this thought and then this thought and he's yeah. all over the place.
Yeah.
That's more of what it means. That you'll see them over here and over there, and they're going to come up with this garbage too. I got some Muslim friends here in the city, and one of them was all excited and coming up to me and says, "Oh, this is great! You know, we believe in Jesus too. He's in the Quran." I'm like, "No, he's not. Did you look at his definition?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you look at his characteristics?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "Yours says he's not the son of God, and then mm-hmm. Mary and Joseph had him, and blah blah blah." So I gave him the whole rundown, and
yeah.
he's like, "Oh, yeah, it's not the same Jesus." You can. That's yeah. like saying, "Hey, Jesus, you know, working on my roof over there is Jesus." No,
yeah.
he's not.
Yeah.
Okay, it just has the same name.
Yeah. Man. Well, I just know that everything that is written in Ezekiel 38, and again, please, I mean, if you don't have a Bible, you can look one up online. Go buy one to have it physical, because I've got a feeling that once the rapture happens, probably Bibles are going to start disappearing all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But
download it on your phone.
Yeah,
download it on your computer.
Yeah,
get hard copies.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to know what's going on right after the rapture happens. There's going to be a whole lot of people.
Happened?
Yeah. And unfortunately, I've got a feeling that a lot of this information that people can easily access now is going to be very, very hard to access after the fact. What do you think about that, David?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're the only people that are keeping them at bay. Mm-hmm. Like they take down all the Christian stuff, the Christians rise up, and there's more than them that'll cause a ruckus. But if they're not here to cause a ruckus, they're like, oh, okay,
yeah,
we'll take down more.
Yeah, they work to get away with what they can get away with is what it comes down mm-hmm. to. Yeah, and it's constant, and it's getting worse, and it's increasing and increasing and increasing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, this was a very unusual show, but, it's just the way it is.
Those are the best.
Because we want to celebrate David's birthday. And, David, I do want to wish you a happy birthday and hope it's a great one. Well, you'll have to come down to Texas, and I'll have Anita cook you one. Okay?
That's a pagan ritual, too, by the way, having a cake with candles in it and blowing it out.
Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was
pagan.
Yeah,
yeah, it reeks of witchcraft. But anyway,
well, I'll tell you this about that. I do not participate in birthday cake eating, because I don't believe that somebody should spew all over a cake and then you eat it. I don't, so I pass.
Don't spit on my cake. Cut me a piece before you blow the candles out.
Right, there you go. Okay. All right, David, go ahead and take us out.
All right. So we have fun and we laugh because we know Jesus is coming, the King of Kings. We're heading out. We got our new bodies around the corner. Amen. We're going to the wedding feast when he comes to get his bride. And then we're going to come back and rule and reign with him and probably have a seat in the mezzanine when he's pouring out all the judgment on the earth for 7 years.
Right.
So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to his return. Exciting times are immediately ahead of us. I suggest you come and join us.
Amen.
Because it's not going to be pretty otherwise, and it's going to be super pretty if you do. It's real simple. Just say, Jesus, I accept your contract, and I'm going to come and live with you for all eternity. We'll see you guys, Lord willing, on the next show. Have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.